We're going back east. It is a holiday weekend, and the holiday weekend for me is a highlight because I get to talk to Paul White as we go through a baseball season. Paul, of course, a long-time baseball writer, the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly way back when. But I love talking ball with him. Paul White, welcome to the show today.
Good morning, Marty.
Yeah, boy, this, I don't know how many years we've done this together, but
oh man,
but it's been a lot. And, you know, you and I go through the markers of the season, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, and July 31st. And this, we have our first one coming up, and I'm not sure that baseball is as complicated as we thought it may have been. And it looks like the teams that should be there are kind of getting there.
Yeah, for the most part. You know, and this is the one that I always, you know, people have a tendency to get so excited about things and positively and negatively in April. I always say Memorial Day. That's the first one. At that point, if your team's in the tank, you better be really worried because that's a clear indicator. You know, if you're a team, for instance, like Washington, that you thought was supposed to be good, is having a horrible season, well, they've shown enough that they are pretty bad right now. You know, the Minnesota Twins, yeah, they're real. Maybe they don't play 680 baseball all season, but they're for real and they're a legit contender. They've shown us enough. Tampa Bay again, like that. So, yeah, I think this is the marker that matters. The first one that really matters.
Yeah, no, I agree. Paul White with us. By the way, Paul, next time you're out here, I've got to take you to the U.S. restaurant. I was thinking about it, and I know how you love that Sicilian food. So we got to get you out to North Beach. Have you been out there before?
I have not. Oh, I've been to North Beach plenty of times, but you haven't got me up there. But I will be out before the season's over, I promise.
All right. And now if you come out here Memorial Day, it is open Memorial Day.
So all right.
I want to make sure everyone knows that Memorial Day, if you're out in North Beach, U.S. restaurant is open for business and get that good home cooking. Minnesota Twins. Let's talk about them for a second. Way back when the Oakland Athletics in the early 2000s, all of a sudden, Tejada made it, Chavez made it, Giambi made it, Ramon Hernandez made it, and they sort of all made it at the same time. And that A's team, which looked like just young players, all of a sudden became, you know, the strength of the early 2000s. I kind of see that as Minnesota. There are names here that we don't really know, but they've all kind of made it at the same year, so maybe they're not a fluke.
Well, yeah, and the thing that strikes me about the Twins is, yeah, the guys are having big years. I mean, Jorge Polanco, a shortstop that, you know, they've liked for a while. He's still only 25. They thought, he's coming. I don't think they ever saw him as a batting title contender, but, you know, certainly a legit player. He's having the biggest year of all. You know, if you look at their entire lineup, everybody's hitting that 270, 280 range for the most part. And the scary part is Nelson Cruz, who they picked up in the offseason, hasn't done a lot this year because he's been hurt for part of the time. Byron Buxton is just finally having his first solid season with the Twins. This was the mega prospect. And the other one, Miguel Sano, just got back from an injury. Buxton and Sano were supposed to be the studs to take this team to the next level. If those guys step up and join with the other guys that we're seeing, you know, Jonathan Scope and Max Kepler and Eddie Rosario, you're right, not household names, but they're deep. And for the first time that I can ever remember, the Twins have pitchers that actually scare you a little bit. They used to be the kings of the soft toss finesse guys, the Brad Radkes of the world. Well, they're different than that now, and that's a huge difference.
They got a new pitching coach as well, and he's made a big difference. So we'll have Mike Quadi is going to be on with us tomorrow. Mike is the outfield roving instructor and former manager of the Cubs who knows the Twins, but he told me this new pitching instructor has changed Martin Perez,
yeah,
and also Odorizzi.
Yeah, Odorizzi's been great. I mean, Odorizzi's a Cy Young candidate at this point.
Unbelievable. Wow, that's...
And Jose Barrios, the young kid, just coming into his own. This kid's going to be he's going to be an ace.
He pitches today. But, you know, they're on a pace at 330 home runs. I mean, let's just talk about that for a second. I mean, you know, as I talked with Allie earlier, we talked about Mike Yastrzemski, who's called up, and You know, we hope Carl will be the next call up. Maybe he'll be next. But, you know, in the PCL, they're killing the ball. They're using the major league ball, home runs all over the place. And you look at Minnesota, they've already hit 100 home runs. We're about a third of the way through the season. They could hit 340. The ball, ball home runs are all over the place.
They're long. Look at those distances every night. Somebody's hitting a 460 every night. Guys are hitting, it's the longest since we've been keeping track. Guys are hitting career highs in length. So not only is the ball going out, but it's really jumping. The distances are over the top. So whether this was on purpose or not, it's happening, and you can't deny it.
No, you can't, and that's part of the Giant problem, really. And, the Giants, look, the game changed underneath them. All of a sudden, if you're 30, 31, you're not in your prime anymore. And the game got younger. The velocity picked up. And you got to have that quick bat speed. And if you got quick bat speed hitting 97, the ball goes out if it's a golf ball.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's getting interesting. We've seen this, especially with the rise of the bullpens, having 6, 7, 8 arms that can throw 95-plus, and you just keep running them out there. The interesting thing now will be, is there an adjustment back? Because we've got this situation, just like you described. Major league hitters can hit 97, 98 if it's straight, and as you said, the ball will jump out. Well, is there now more room for a guy like Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs, for instance? The guys throwing the great changeups, the guys with good breaking pitches. I mean, Hendricks is still going to be an outlier because he can't throw 90 at all. But you're going to have guys that can have more stuff than just velocity, because the major league hitter is just going to sit there and they're just going to wait for it. And sooner or later it comes, and their odds of getting a ball to jump when they do hit it are greater.
I think you're exactly right. I think the 2-0 fastball isn't coming anymore. You're getting a breaking ball or a changeup, and you're absolutely right. The 97 maybe is a reliever. You can rely on it a little bit because you're coming in the face of a batter or two. But to go through the lineup, there's no question in my mind you've got to have secondary pitches. There are less fastballs being thrown, which takes me a little bit to the bullpen questions. We saw Atlanta here. I look at the Philly bullpen, of course the Braves, the Brewers, even the Dodger bullpen. There are teams that need relievers, and which leads me to believe that this trade market is going to happen earlier than July 31st, because there's a lot of competition in the teams that know they're going to be in this race, that they know now they need relief pitching.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think once we get past the draft pick compensation date at the beginning of June, Craig Kimbrell's the first one to go, and then whoever gets him, the teams competing with that club in their division or for a wild card in their league are going to have to react. They're going to have to start to make moves, and I think not only will the relief market be early, it's going to be fascinating to watch how teams maneuver, because beware but the buyer in the relief market. Are you going to go and get the guys who have proven themselves over the last 2 or 3 years with lights-out relief stuff and bullpens that have been great? What if the Milwaukee Brewers fell out of the race and wanted to move a couple of their relievers? Would you take those guys? I mean, Josh Hader, yeah. But would you take other guys like Jeremy Jeffress, who we've already seen? He's got physical issues this year. The velocity's down. There's a shelf life on these guys, and nobody knows what it is on each individual player. And you got to be real careful. You can't just go on track record when you're picking up relievers.
Boy, interesting. Matt Kemp, by the way, was signed by the Mets.
Right.
And so was Irvin Santana. I saw that this morning. So he gets another chance, another life for him.
The Mets will sign any walking outfielder at this point.
Well, they got rid of Keon Broxton, and he hit a home run for the Orioles.
Exactly. Well, he's in Colorado.
And they got Altair, and he hit a home run for the Mets last night. So,
right.
How about let's talk Mets for a second. And, there's so many injuries, but dysfunctional front office. Mickey Callaway, Dave Martinez, the two managers that people are talking about.
Right.
Martinez, obviously, of Washington, Callaway of the Mets. But front office, Paul, that the Wilpons, ever since the Madoff scandal, even before that, it seems they have meetings and meetings and meetings, and they never get anywhere.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is you notice things were negative around the Mets in the last week or so. We didn't see any Wilpons. Brady Von Wagner had to handle all this, all the media himself. It's kind of funny. They're kind of front runners, the ownership there. But you know they're doing things behind the scenes, and it's a really kind of weird situation there. And they're still working through the dynamics of bringing in, just say, an off the board general manager. Not saying he can't do the job, but when you hire a player agent, you bring him in. I mean, a lot of people, both in front offices, from the player side of it, they're all looking around, going, okay, what do we got here? What's going on? What's the relationship? You know, he's obviously the Wilpons guy. He impressed them in the interviews and won them over and got a job. But you're right; it is kind of dysfunctional, even to the point, you know, when the Cespedes injury occurred this week on his ranch, and he's going to miss the rest of the season. There's an interesting twist to that. If they start to go into insurance, or they try to negate a portion of that contract because of whatever, we don't know exactly what happened with the injury. The agent that put together that contract might lose some of his commission. Well, you know who that agent was?
The general manager.
Well, no. Okay. So, you know, there are things that are so unexpected. And, you know, I mean, I know he's not the agent anymore, but this is his contract. Anyway.
With the Mets.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, they still run it like a fantasy team, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, it's like if you're playing fantasy with your friends and you look and some guy gets hot and I've heard of him, well, I'm going to pick him up. Hey, you know, and that's the Matt Kemp thing this week. And you just ran through outfielders, you know, Rajai Davis suddenly shows up and hits a big home run for them. And, you know, Cam Broxton went through there and it just goes on and on and on. And it's unfortunate because they've got that lights-out pitching staff, and, yeah, those guys haven't been quite as good this year, not nearly, but that's what they have to win with. And, you know, they go out and get Edwin Diaz to close. He's done the job, but they can't score. And I don't see a lot of hope. You know, Robinson Cano, another one of those guys, you know, hey, he's great. Sounds great in fantasy, but he's hitting .241. And he's hurt.
And I think he was another general manager client. I could be wrong. I think he was. Boy, interesting. Paul White with us, of course, knows the stuff so well. And it's great to have Paul on our holiday shows during the year. He said the lights are out on the Mets pitching. The lights are out. Let me tell you, on Syndergaard, he's got almost like a 5 earned run average. DeGrom has gotten whacked around. Wheeler can't be consistent.
The best ERA in the staff is Steve Matz at 3.63.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, Paul, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to ask you this question. Yelich and Bellinger, they're basically conceding MVP in the National League to them. But there's a guy in Pittsburgh that's making a lot of noise that I want to talk to you about as well. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with Paul White right after this.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, we've got Taylor Clark today and Andrew Suarez. And Clark makes his third major league appearance, and for Andrew Suarez, his second start this year. Paul White is with us, and Paul, always great to talk ball with you. Well, they've got Yelich in the Hall of Fame already. Bellinger's going to hit .400. And the guy in Pittsburgh is killing the ball, and that's Josh Bell. How about handicapping that little race?
That's amazing. Well, you know, Bell obviously is going to have to keep the Pirates in the race. The Dodgers are going to be there all year, we know. The Brewers probably, plus Yelich was last year's MVP. So those guys are in the race. Bell has had the amazing season so far, and the Pirates are right there in the wild card race, at least, if not the Central. So he's going to have to keep him there. But this guy, I mean, I'm glad you brought him up. I've been waiting for a couple of years for this guy to explode, because if you tracked all his peripheral numbers through the minor leagues in his first couple of years in the majors, you kept thinking, It's got to happen. This guy just has to explode. He's got enough plate discipline. He's one of those guys. Sort of reminds me in a way of like a Sean Casey. I always thought, come on, this is a big guy. He's got to have more power than that. And he's made some adjustments this year, and it's really pretty amazing. This is not a fluke.
Well, interesting. Pirates 9-6 in the Central, which is I always look to see how you do in your division, and he's a big part of it.
Well, you know, and it's really interesting because I did a little research on him last week to see exactly why this finally happened. He's got 30% of his fly balls have left the ballpark this season.
Wow.
The major, even this year with the what we just talked about with the home runs, the Major League average is about 14%.
Wow.
And I kept looking, well, what'd he do? What'd he do? And he's actually swinging at more pitches, even those out of the zone. So it's not plate discipline, but his ground ball rate has dropped incredibly. And if he gets the ball in the air, it goes. And so he's changed his swing a little bit. He's done that thing that we saw Daniel Murphy do it a couple years ago. He's in a bunch of guys, you know, to get the loft on the ball. And once he does, you know, good night. And I don't know if you've seen any highlights, but Josh's dad comes to a lot of games. And Josh's dad looks like he could play middle linebacker for your favorite NFL team. I understand where this comes from.
Wow. Oh, great. Great report on that. Josh Bell, he's crushing it. And all of a sudden on the horizon. Hey, Paul, great to have you on. I love it. And we'll have you on again soon. I appreciate the time.
No problem. Anytime, Marty.
All right. That is Paul White. Boy, great to have him on. All right.